And welcome to Power Play. I'm Todd Vanderhaeden. Coming up on the show, an apology in Alberta.
It is now clear that we were wrong.
If Alberta had moved forward when other provinces were doing it, things might be better right now.
Absolutely, Mr. Kenney is to blame. Mr. Trudeau contributed to the problem by calling the election.
Premier Jason Kenney admits he was wrong to reopen Alberta as a fourth wave rose. With a crisis facing the province, a passport-type system is coming and new restrictions as well. But will it be enough? We'll talk to Calgary Mayor Naheed Nenshi. Plus, a major warning for Canadians.
Amid predominance of the highly contagious and more severe Delta variant, hospitalizations could exceed healthcare capacity.
Canada's top doctor says more vaccinations are needed to avoid a deadly winter. We've got three candidates running in the current election joining us to debate pandemic politics with just 4 days left in this campaign. And conservative rebranding, maybe. Former progressive conservative Prime Minister Brian Mulroney campaigning for Erin O'Toole in Quebec. Mulroney says O'Toole is the right man for the big job. How will voters respond? Pollster Nick Nanos breaks it down for us. Now, this is Power Play, so let's get to the players. The final days of the campaign, leaders using every opportunity they can to target key ridings, shore up support. Let's show you where they are today. Justin Trudeau is in Montreal fighting to keep Quebec support for his party as the Bloc Québécois has seen a surge in the last week. Erin O'Toole is in both New Brunswick and Nova Scotia today. Jagmeet Singh in Ontario. There are stops in Toronto, in Oshawa, also in Kingston for him. Yves-François Blanchet is in Mont-Saint-Hilaire, also Saint-Jérôme, north of Montreal, trying to fight for those Quebec seats. And Annamae Paul is off the campaign trail today. She is observing Yom Kippur. All right, let's get to the latest on the trail itself. CTV's senior political reporter Glenn McGregor is covering the Liberals today. He is in Trois-Rivières, Quebec. Good to see you, Glenn. And Justin Trudeau hitting hard today on the COVID situation in Alberta, trying to tie it all to Erin O'Toole.
Yeah, and he's in one of those key ridings that you mentioned, Todd, here in Trois-Rivières, Quebec. This is a very closely contested riding that's flipped around back and forth. This is his second visit to this riding, so it shows you this is one they're hoping for a breakthrough here. They have a former journalist running here, a guy named Martin Francoeur, who had actually written a column last year talking about Trudeau's elastic ethics. So that was a little bit awkward. Nevertheless, so yeah, they are though surfing on kind of an up note coming into this riding today because of the way that things are going in the campaign. First of all, that they got that endorsement from Barack Obama on Twitter today, and they're really kind of getting their footing on their message about Erin O'Toole. And in part, it is helped by what's happening in that horrible situation in Alberta, because they are using that to tie Mr. O'Toole to Jason Kenney, noting the fact that O'Toole had previously lauded Alberta for its handling of the pandemic response. Of course, that's not now a very good look. So lots of questions to Trudeau this morning in a press conference, getting him to comment on Jason Kenney's performance. He wouldn't even say the name Jason Kenney, but he repeatedly pivoted back to Erin O'Toole and really using this to frame what the Liberals are hoping is going to be the ballot box question. That is, do you trust Erin O'Toole to manage Canada's recovery from the pandemic?
The endorsement from Barack Obama, we're going to show it out on Twitter. Does that make a big difference in this sort of campaign, Glenn? What do you think?
You know what? I think it might be kind of bolster people who are already leaning towards Justin Trudeau and the Liberals, but it's not a big surprise. Same thing happened in the 2019 election campaign. There was a midway through that, an endorsement. And that seemed to, you know, did it make a difference ultimately? Trudeau lost seats in that election, so hard to say how that factored in. But the timing is good because last night, Erin O'Toole got an endorsement of his own from former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney. I think if you ask the Liberals, they'd make their endorsement from one of the most famous and potentially beloved political leaders in the world compares favorably to an endorsement from Brian Mulroney.
Glenn McGregor with the Liberals in Trois-Rivières, Quebec today. Thanks, Glenn. Good to see you.
Thanks, Todd.
We're going to go further east to Truro, Nova Scotia. Speaking of Erin O'Toole, the Conservative leader campaigning there today, that's where we find CTV's Vanessa Lee. And Vanessa, Erin O'Toole avoided responding to the whole Jason Kenney situation today. What did he say, though, on the emergency situation playing out in Alberta?
Well, this is it, Todd. He was asked repeatedly about this, given the fact that O'Toole has praised Jason Kenney's response to the pandemic at various stages. as recent as 4 days ago. So we've heard him say before that Jason Kenney has handled the pandemic better than Justin Trudeau. And so he was asked repeatedly today if he still shares that view. And so he was asked who has handled the pandemic better, Trudeau or Kenney. He was asked about the situation in Alberta and the deteriorating situation. And really, Todd, he did not answer any of it. He did not go there at all. He really just stuck to his talking points. He spoke about how his government will work with, coordinate with any province, regardless of stripe. But again, he was asked this repeatedly today, what he thinks of Jason Kenney, and he did not answer.
Hey, two interesting developments as well. We had the endorsement of Brian Mulroney, of course, in Quebec last night. But also, you know, you are in the Maritimes, and both New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, now in the hands of the Progressive Conservatives provincially. That's why Erin O'Toole is there targeting some key Maritime ridings he thinks his party can win.
Well, that's right. We're in Truro right now. So this is the riding of Cumberland-Colchester. This is Lenore Zan's riding, a Liberal, but she only beat Scott Armstrong in 2019 by just over 400 votes. So this is a very tight race here. And what's interesting is that the NDP candidate in this riding, he recently resigned over an anti-Semitic tweet. And so it's believed that perhaps some of the votes that he could have gone may go towards the Liberals. So that's why they're here tonight, trying to drum up support. And earlier today, we were in St. John, the riding of St. John Rothesay. That's Wayne Long's riding. So another really tight race with the Conservatives there a couple of years ago. And really, there was no big announcement today from Erin O'Toole. He reiterated his commitment to seniors. And again, just stuck to some of the same talking points that we've heard over the last few days, that Canadians cannot trust Justin Trudeau because he has broken a promise and called an election during the pandemic.
CTV's Vanessa Lee in Truro, Nova Scotia, with the Conservatives. Thanks for this, Vanessa.
You're welcome.
And we're going to bring you to the latest on the NDP, where CTV's Annie Bergeron-Oliver busy today covering leader Jagmeet Singh. They were in Toronto. They were in Oshawa, east of Toronto, going to Kingston as well. A busy day, Annie, and Jagmeet Singh pushing for gains in Ontario. Let's talk about the strategy here. What's at stake for the NDP?
Well, the NDP only has 6 seats in Ontario, so they're really trying to boost that number. And what was interesting about today is they targeted 4 ridings that all have something in common. So one, in 2019, the NDP candidate came second, even in Oshawa, which has been a stronghold to the Conservatives since, I believe it was 2004. And other than that, they all have NDP MPPs. So the party thinks that these 4 ridings, they were in Toronto Danforth, Toronto Davenport, Kingston, and they were in one other riding, Oshawa, that's the one. And so they think this is winnable. The party is really trying to get more aggressive, more offensive, and, hit more ridings. Yesterday, we did 6 ridings in one day. So again, this is them really trying to go after more seats. And the message of each one is the same, that this election is about a choice. The choice between Justin Trudeau, the familiar that you've had for 6 years, that the NDP says has not followed through on any promises and would be bad for Canadians, or Erin O'Toole, who Mr. Singh also says would be bad for Canadians and would end up costing Canadians more. So tomorrow we're going to be in Montreal. This is what's likely to be their last push in Quebec. They have 1 seat now, and they're hoping to get more. So tomorrow's their last chance to try and do that.
Also, Annie, Jagmeet Singh weighing in on the crisis in Alberta and the pandemic politics there. He has blame for several different players when it comes to that, doesn't he?
Yeah, so at first today, he actually started blaming Justin Trudeau, saying that it was Trudeau's fault because he called the election, sort of essentially accusing him or suggesting that Justin Trudeau's attention was diverted from fighting of the people in Alberta because he was out campaigning and called what he called, what Mr. Singh called, a selfish election. I asked him about that, questioning how it was Mr. Trudeau's fault, at least his fault alone, given the fact that Premier Kenney was the one who made the decision to basically remove all restrictions in the summer. Mr. Singh then responded to my question that it was absolutely Mr. Kenney's fault as well. Mr. Singh called Kenney's leadership a failure, and he also said that it was, quote, horrible leadership. So he blamed the two of them and said, while it was Mr. Kenney's fault, he says that Mr. Trudeau also had a role to play in the situation that Alberta is currently facing, given that he called this election.
Annie Bergeron-Oliver traveling with the NDP, coming to us live from Kingston, Ontario. Thanks for this, Annie.
Thanks, Todd.
Well, Alberta is front and center today in the election because of the surging COVID cases there. The provincial government of Jason Kenney, yes, apologizing over the handling of the crisis. And Erin O'Toole being questioned over Kenney's actions. So does the handling in Alberta of a staunch conservative like Jason Kenney hurt Erin O'Toole in this campaign with only 4 days to go? Let's bring in some of the candidates who are running for election, re-election. Jennifer O'Connell is the Liberal candidate for Pickering Uxbridge in Ontario. Michael Barrett is the Conservative candidate for Leeds, Grenville, Thousand Islands, also in Ontario, Rideau Lakes. And Heather McPherson is the NDP candidate for Edmonton, Strathcona. Michael, let me start with you. Your leader has said that Jason Kenney has done a better job at handling the pandemic than Justin Trudeau, but Kenney now apologizing here. I'm curious to get your party's plan to address the pandemic here. How much damage does what's going on in Alberta do to the Conservatives?
Look, we find ourselves in the middle of an election that was unnecessary to be called. All parliamentarians agreed that we not have an election during the pandemic. The Delta-driven fourth wave is upon us. It's going to cost the country $600 million for Mr. Trudeau's vanity election. That's real money that could have been spent to help the people of Alberta. That's real money that could be spent to help the healthcare costs of all of the healthcare needs of all Canadians. And so what we're looking at is a situation that doesn't have the full attention of the federal government. And really, right now, more than ever, we need the leadership of the federal government. And that's exactly what Erin O'Toole has proposed to do with very specific measures with respect to preparedness for future pandemics, but also to address the current pandemic.
Jennifer, the Liberals have been under fire pretty much this entire campaign, as you know, over calling the election during a pandemic to begin with. Now, all the politicians, yourself included, out campaigning in an election critics say we didn't need. How are you framing it?
Well, I think this is a great example of demonstrating why leadership matters and why Canadians need to choose who is it that they think is going to best take care of them, their health and safety, and the safety of their families. Well, Mr. O'Toole won't allow anybody traveling with him unless they show proof of vaccination. So you can't get on a campaign bus, a train, or a plane unless you show proof of vaccination to be around Mr. O'Toole and his family. But for the rest of Canadians, that he won't implement vaccine certification. Justin Trudeau knows, and our party knows, that the best way to get out of this pandemic is through vaccination. That's why we are supporting provinces and territories to do just that, to vaccinate Canadians, to implement vaccination certifications, and to stand up for all those Canadians who did the right thing so that we can protect our small businesses and protect children that are in school who are not able to get vaccinated yet.
Heather,
it's leadership that matters.
Heather, you're the sole Albertan on the panel. Your read on what's going on in your province and the fact that Jagmeet Singh is placing blame both on Justin Trudeau and Jason Kenney for the current crisis.
Well, of course, I agree 100% with my leader, Jagmeet Singh. I mean, honestly, I'm listening to my colleagues, and you know, we've been hearing all day them talk about how this is you know, Erin O'Toole is exactly the same as Jason Kenney, which I'm not going to argue with. But we've also heard that it is Justin Trudeau's fault for calling an election. I'm not going to argue with that. But what I'm not hearing is any understanding of the situation we're in Alberta. Like, our healthcare system is on the verge of collapse. There are people that are dying every hour in our province because Jason Kenney has been an unmitigated failure. But you know, now is the time where we actually need some support from the leadership of the federal government, and we're not seeing it because everybody is campaigning right now. And that is not helping the healthcare workers who are exhausted and completely, you know, demoralized in this province. I just spoke to a healthcare worker this afternoon who was telling me that she has a patient who she knows has cancer who can't get tested because our ICU is full, can't get tested because all of the scopes, all of the surgeries are being canceled. I don't care whose fault it is. We need to get some help for Albertans right now because Albertans are dying because of the failure of Jason Kenney and because Justin Trudeau thought it was a really great time to call an election during a fourth wave of a global health pandemic.
Michael, this fourth wave is largely a pandemic, as you know, of the unvaccinated. The Conservatives have not been clear on requiring candidates to be fully vaccinated. As we're watching what's happening in Alberta, now even the Premier of Saskatchewan is saying he's running out of patience with people not getting vaccinated. Is it time for Erin O'Toole to make a clear statement on making vaccines mandatory for your candidates without medical exemptions?
Look, we've been very clear from the beginning that that we're going to support the provincial measures that are put in place in every province across this country and follow the best public health advice. And for anyone who can and wants to be vaccinated, we need to make sure that vaccines are available for them. And I want to give my community as an example. Here in the Leeds Grenville Lanark Health Unit, our vaccination rate, our double vaccination rate for folks over the age of 12 is over 88%. And that's been done thanks to the outstanding work of public health officials and the cooperation in our community, education over enforcement. And I think that that's really important. It's absolutely the way that we need to go forward. And anyone who has not yet been vaccinated, we need to continue that public education, but we also need to make sure we're keeping Canadians safe and we have rapid tests available and they're used regularly so that we can make sure that our economy continues to move while we close the gap on getting more folks vaccinated.
Jennifer, is it wrong for Justin Trudeau to be taking shots at provincial premiers like Jason Kenney while they're dealing with this crisis?
I think what Justin Trudeau is focused on is, one, sending help to Alberta, as we have done for all provinces and territories throughout this pandemic. But again, I reiterate, the best way to get out of this pandemic is through vaccination. And the Conservatives talk about education, yet they can't even educate their own candidates to get vaccinated. Their own candidates are sending misinformation about vaccines. This is going to lead to deaths in this country. And the Conservatives even have a candidate in Peterborough going into a long-term care home without being fully vaccinated. That same candidate wouldn't meet Erin O'Toole's protocol to get on his campaign bus. So this is about leadership to get through this pandemic and ensuring that Canadians, those who have stepped up and got vaccinated, are protected, and the remainder of Canadians do the same. This is going to get us through this pandemic, support our communities, small businesses, and all those people who are not yet able to be vaccinated.
Last word,
leadership,
goes to you.
Leadership is not holding a super spreader event in a hot spot for COVID in
more
Ontario.
More misinformation
like
coming from the Conservatives. More misinformation. They'll say anything to get elected and not
Alberta.
Keep Canadians safe,
shameful.
Including Albertans.
Shameful.
They'll say anything, and it is absolutely horrible that Erin O'Toole won't stand up against the misinformation coming from his own party. That's going to cost lives.
Let's bring Heather into the conversation. Last word to you, Heather, your view from Edmonton.
You know, I want to thank all the healthcare workers who are out there on the front lines. You know, the challenges that we're facing in Alberta are utterly Jason Kenney's doing. But you know, the federal government has a role to play here, and it's far too late. I've been asking for the federal government to step in and help Albertans for weeks now, and we have not seen that happen. You know, I'm just really disappointed. I'm really disappointed in our provincial government and our federal government, and Albertan lives are at risk here. We're losing people one an hour.
Heather McPherson, Michael Barrett, Jennifer O'Connell, all of them running for election in this campaign. Good to see all three of you. Thanks for taking a bit of time for CTV News. Best of luck in the days ahead.
Thank you.
And CTV News will have extensive election night coverage hosted by our chief news anchor, senior editor Lisa LaFlamme. It starts at 7 o'clock Eastern on Monday, September the 20th, right here on CTV News channel, also on the main CTV net and ctvnews.ca streaming. Okay, coming up, more on this apology from Jason Kenney in Alberta. Is it too little too late to stamp out the fourth wave? We have the mayor of Calgary, Naheed Nenshi, standing by to join us in just a moment here on Power Play. We'll be right back.
I know that we had all hoped this summer that we could put COVID behind us once and for all. That was certainly my hope, and I said so very clearly. Based on our analysis of other jurisdictions around the world with similar rates of vaccination, we believed that we could prudently move away from addressing COVID as a pandemic and towards an endemic. It is now clear that we were wrong, and for that, I apologize.
Alberta Premier Jason Kenney last night, when his province saw more than 1,600 new cases of COVID, Kenney announcing Alberta will now bring in a proof of vaccination program very quickly next Monday, and also Alberta now under a state of emergency. Is it enough, though, to get things under control? As for Kenney himself, he is under fire by many who are criticizing his handling, or as they see it, mishandling of this pandemic. Let's bring in the mayor of Calgary, Naheed Nenshi, who is standing by. Always good to see you, Naheed. And you have said you've never seen a government this incompetent.
I know those are tough words, but, you know, I've been lucky enough to be on the front, in the front row of this stuff for 11 years now. I've had six premiers, two prime ministers. I've worked with dozens of big city mayors. I am a completely nonpartisan guy. It's why I wear purple every day. It's red and blue. But it's true. I have never seen a government this incompetent. You know, you just played a clip where the premier apologized in one sentence. He then proceeded to spend an hour justifying all of his decisions rather than being able to move forward. And, you know, in your intro, you mentioned that we're bringing in a proof of vaccine program. Are we? Because they tried so hard to thread the needle last night because they just refused to say the word vaccine passport. The Minister of Economic Development said vaccine passport is a made-up term by the media, whatever that means. They've come up with something called the Exemption Restrictions Program or the Restriction Exemptions Program or some kind of Orwellian newspeak, which basically we think means that if you have a vaccine passport system, we're not going to close you down. If you don't have one, we may or may not close you down. It's ridiculous. It's silly. It puts the onus on businesses. And frankly, it's cruel. It's cruel to people who just want government to do the right thing, and it's cruel to business owners who've already been through way too much.
So there's definitely confusion over this whole process and how it's going to play out. I know you've been out throughout the day talking to people in Calgary, and I'm curious to get your sense of, you know, what people are saying here about all of this, because there's a lot of noise out there right now.
Well, my message to Calgarians, frankly, has been, you know, I know you're mad, and everybody's mad, by the way. No one was mollified by the decisions last night. I know you're angry. I know you're disappointed. I know you're sad. But you know what? Put it away. Put it in a drawer. If you're a business owner, just pretend that they actually put in a vaccine passport and get ready to implement it. If you are a citizen, feel comfortable in supporting small business because you could be comfortable that the person at the next table is vaccinated, and support those businesses to the best of your ability. Be kind to everyone. I'm not saying have empathy for the bozos who protest in front of hospitals. We don't need to have empathy for them anymore. But we should have empathy for the storekeepers, the retail workers, the servers, and those who are just struggling to get by, and try to figure out how to move forward. And the other thing I will say is we're very lucky here in Calgary. We've been through a lot of crisis. And so our emergency management folks, people, are the best in the world. And I'm really telling citizens, just put the province in a drawer. Don't worry about them. Your city government knows what it's doing. We will take care of you as best we can, and together we'll get through this.
As you know, this is a political show, so I've got to ask you, all of this happening in the final days of this federal election campaign, Conservative leader Erin O'Toole, Naheed, is refusing to publicly say that Jason Kenney got it wrong in Alberta. Your thoughts on that?
Well, let's remember the history here. Premier Kenney endorsed Mr. O'Toole, of course. That was a very important endorsement for him early in his leadership campaign. Mr. O'Toole has many times praised the province's response to COVID, even though it's been certainly the worst in the country after the first wave. First wave, they did a great job. And after that, they let ideology get in the way. And frankly, I've seen this show too many times. The premier comes out, makes the smallest possible concession to COVID. Everyone says it's not going to work. He comes back a week later, seems surprised it didn't work, and does something else after taking us on a long walk through his political philosophy. Frankly, the first four episodes of this movie were bad. I don't need a fifth one. And, you know, in 2019, after he was already the premier on an Alberta government salary, he spent the entire election stumping outside of Alberta for the Conservatives. And this time he says, we must be respectful to the federal election and stay out of it. Come on. It's very clear what's going on here. He is poison to Mr. O'Toole. And Mr. O'Toole, if he were smart, would distance himself quickly.
Naheed Nenshi is the mayor of Calgary. I appreciate you taking the time. I know it's busy today, but thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me. And everybody across the country, don't go down the path we're going down. Delta is dangerous. Stay safe, stay masked, be kind to everybody.
All right,
and get your shot.
Well said. Coming up here on the show, the Alberta blame game continues. ICU admissions in the province continue to soar. Leaders on the campaign trail pointing fingers. Is it a good strategy or not? Is it tasteless politics? Our press gallery is standing by to join us in a moment.
Updated surveillance data show that the Delta-driven wave is continuing to surge. Unless we can quickly reduce overall transmission rates through accelerated vaccination and other measures where the virus is surging, continued expansion of the epidemic could lead to higher case counts than we have experienced thus far.
Well, the politics of the pandemic have been playing out to one degree or another for the past 18 months, that we know. But with 4 days to go in the federal election campaign, politicians are campaigning and they're weighing in, especially with this COVID surge we've been following in Alberta. Jason Kenney apologizing over his handling of it. His plan to open up Alberta in the summer seems to have been a miscalculation. So now there's a public health emergency in the province. Alberta will be bringing in some kind of vaccine certificate program. What are the political implications in these final 4 days? Let's bring in the press gallery. Robert Benzie is with the Toronto Star. He is their bureau chief at Ontario's legislature, Queen's Park. Rachel Aiello is a CTVnews.ca producer. She joins us from the Conservative Party campaign trail. And Jen Gerson, a Calgary-based journalist, co-founder of the online newsletter The Line. Nice to see all of you. Rob, let me start with you on this and the effect you think this is going to have, if anything, now in these final days.
Well, Todd, I don't know if it's going to have a huge impact, but I think it's going to be unhelpful to Erin O'Toole's fortunes in Alberta and perhaps in other parts of the country. The Liberals have been running videos showing Mr. O'Toole endorsing Jason Kenney's approach to the pandemic. I guess he said it on numerous occasions, and they've helpfully compiled a list of those endorsements and have been sharing them widely. So I think that's not going to necessarily help Mr. O'Toole. I think Mr. O'Toole's folks would have liked Mr. Kenney to wait, perhaps, to do this. But obviously, in a health crisis, you have to act first on the health crisis and not on politics. But Jason Kenney, as Jen wrote a really good piece today, has his own political crisis as well as a health crisis in Alberta. So I don't think Mr. O'Toole is in quite as much political trouble as Jason Kenney is, but that remains to be seen. Who knows what's going to happen on Monday?
Yeah, let's get Jen to weigh in. Jen, let's get your read on it and what you think is playing out here.
Oh, yeah, Jason Kenney's boned. You know, he's got the luxury of being able to do what he thinks is right because he's a dead man walking. There's nothing left to work with, I'm afraid. So, I mean, I don't know if you're looking for a look at the Alberta-specific situation or the impact of this on the federal campaign. I think those are two very different answers. In terms of the federal campaign, I mean, it'll either make an impact or it won't. I have got no idea. But ultimately, I mean, these were Alberta decisions that were made for the people of Alberta, and it's the Alberta people who will suffer the consequences of these decisions. So the responsibility unequivocally lies with Kenney and with his team. You know, whether or not it impacts O'Toole, you know, how many people outside of Alberta really care that much about what's happening inside of Alberta? How bad is it going to get in the next couple of days? And also, to what degree do you blame Alberta's decision on Jason Kenney? And to what degree do you blame it on sort of the broader ideological framework that guides Jason Kenney? You know, I think these are interesting questions, and I just don't think that's possible to know at this juncture.
Okay, we're going to go live if we can, because we're hearing that Dr. Dina Hinshaw, the top doctor in Alberta, is speaking. Let's listen in here.
718 new cases of COVID-19 and completed about 16,300 tests. Our positivity rate was about 10.6%. Our hospitalizations continue to rise. And there are 896 people being treated for COVID-19 in hospital, including 222 in the ICU. There are now 18,706 active cases in the province. Sadly, I must announce that 10 new deaths were reported to Alberta Health in the last 24 hours. Every life lost leaves behind grieving family and friends, and I offer my sympathies to those who are mourning these losses and losses from any other cause. These deaths and all that have preceded them are further reminders that there are many vulnerable people in our province. As I said yesterday, our actions have never mattered more. We have a collective shared responsibility to keep everyone safe. This is the glue that holds our society together. Today, I want to help clarify some questions that we've heard about the restrictions announced yesterday. I know it was a lot of information at once, and I want everyone to fully understand the rules going forward. Many Albertans are asking why social gatherings need to be limited if everyone attending has been vaccinated. It's a fair question, especially when immunized Albertans have done the right thing and have gotten protected to try to keep others safe as well. The answer is that our healthcare system is straining to treat the number of COVID-19 cases we currently have in Alberta. While close to 78% of the cases currently in hospital, including ICUs, are unvaccinated or only partially vaccinated, that still leaves 22% of those in hospital who are fully vaccinated. Many of these individuals have underlying health conditions that have affected their immune systems and their ability to fight off infections. In addition, while two doses of vaccine are generally about 85% effective at protecting against the Delta variant, that still leaves a 15% window for infection. And since the presence of COVID-19 is so high in our province right now, we need to do all we can to safeguard ourselves and our healthcare system and to stop providing all those opportunities for COVID-19 to slip in and spread. We've also heard questions about whether weddings have to follow the 50-person limit if they implement mandatory vaccination. The answer is first that this restriction comes into force on Monday, so events this weekend can continue, although I urge everyone to take every possible precaution in all events. Secondly, venues that host these types of events are able to choose to implement a restriction exemption program with proof of immunization or a recent negative, privately paid COVID-19 test. If a hosting venue has implemented this program, then the wedding or funeral taking place in that location is able to proceed without the cap on numbers, as long as all attendees over the age of 12 have valid proof of immunization or a recent negative, privately paid COVID test. Again, a reminder that AHS COVID tests cannot be used for this purpose. Only privately paid COVID tests are an option for admission purposes under the exemption program. Related to that, I have heard some confusion about which businesses count as essential for daily living and so are not able to put in place an exemption program. We're working to put together a list of sectors on the website, but this would include examples such as grocery stores, gas stations, and retail such as hardware stores. Other questions we've heard have been around personal services such as hair salons. These are subject to the mandatory masking rule and a requirement that physical distancing be maintained at all times except for while the service is being provided. Finally, we've also heard questions about whether businesses need to apply for the restriction exemption program to be eligible. The answer is no. Businesses simply need to consult the material we will be posting tomorrow on our website and implement the process described there in order to qualify. However, audits and enforcement will occur to make sure the rules are being followed. Starting Monday, any location that is not following the restrictions but has not properly implemented a vaccine verification system would be violating the public health orders in place. All of the public health orders are mandatory and legally enforceable. Any police agency or public health inspector is empowered to take enforcement action as they see fit. However, enforcement is always a last resort. As I said yesterday, hard as it may seem, we need to work together to beat back this current wave. I know the new measures come as a disappointment to many who have worked diligently to keep our province safe. I know that many are frustrated and tired, and both of these are understandable. However, despite this tiredness and frustration, the virus is not going to stop without us. We are all currently playing a role in preventing the spread of the virus, protecting ourselves and protecting our community. By following these rules in not just the letter, but the spirit of them, and avoiding contact as much as possible with those outside our household, we can get back on track and bring our cases, and most importantly, our severe outcomes down. This is the key to reducing pressure on the healthcare system and saving lives. Thank you, and I'll turn the podium over to Dr. Yu to provide an update on the healthcare system.
Good afternoon. This afternoon, I want to provide some further updates in terms of the pressures on our healthcare system and what we are doing to increase capacity. Pressure on our healthcare system continues to be severe. We continue to add capacity wherever and whenever we can, and we can also see more and more patients are actually being admitted to the critical care units. We currently have 310 beds open in Alberta, including 137 additional what we call surge spaces. AHS has opened 43 additional ICU surge spaces in the past 7 days. There are currently 268 patients in the ICU, 75% who are afflicted with the COVID virus disease. Provincially, ICU capacity, including additional surge beds, is at 86%. But remember, without these additional surge beds, provincial ICU capacity would be in excess of 155%. The number of patients in ICU has increased by 16% in the past week. This fourth wave has resulted in the sharpest increase in ICU patients that we have seen throughout the pandemic. And I continue to be amazed by our incredible physicians and staff who work tirelessly in providing care and creating capacity. Because of your dedication and efforts, Albertans are able to get the care that they need. I've said before that healthcare is a finite resource. We do not have the ability to simply open more and more ICU spaces and hospital beds, and we do not have an endless number of staff who can provide critical care. I'm aware that one of our internal planning documents was shared publicly this afternoon, which suggests that we are days away from having our ICUs overwhelmed. There is no question that our ICUs are under extreme pressure. We continually are finding ways to increase our capacity, and our numbers change daily, if not hourly. And the teams are working 24/7 to ensure that we don't reach that point. Our goal right now is to open as many critical care spaces as we can, safely staffed, and create as much space that we need, anticipating the numbers that are coming ahead. Let me be clear, though. These are not standard ICU beds. Care will be and always, and is already different as we move to different staffing models and different spaces. This is extremely challenging. We continually do all that we can in the face of this ever-changing pandemic. AHS has moved to its highest level in terms of its surge response. This step is designed to add additional capacity using a number of different tools, and I'd like to briefly talk about those now. We have asked our teams to identify and open any spaces that can be used as an ICU bed. This includes spaces such as operating rooms, post-anesthesia care units, observation spaces, and recovery wards.
All right, so the latest live for you from Edmonton, the COVID crisis in Alberta, more than 1,700 new cases announced today amid a public health emergency. Alberta's government reluctantly announcing it will bring in a vaccine passport-style system, although they're not calling it that, next week. New restrictions also coming into effect as the Premier, Jason Kenney, has apologized for the situation. The story in Alberta is playing out politically as well on the federal election campaign, less than 4 days to go now until the vote. Does the way that Alberta's conservative provincial government has handled the pandemic, does that hurt the federal conservatives and leader Erin O'Toole? Let's get back to our press gallery. Robert Benzie is joining us. Rachel Aiello is with us. She's with the conservatives as well today. Jen Gerson is in Calgary. And we also have pollster Nick Nanos as well. And Rachel, to you and the conservatives here and what the buzz is now. Of course, some saying that Erin O'Toole owns part of this.
That's right, Todd. Today we asked him multiple ways, multiple different times, whether his position, the way he's spoken about Jason Kenney's handling of the pandemic in the past, stands today, and he really did not want to go there. I don't even think that he said Jason Kenney's name or Alberta when it came to any of these questions about the COVID situation there. So yeah, we're at an event. He's about to speak in, 15 minutes or so. So we'll see if he's decided to say something different, and we'll bring that to you. But in terms of his answers today, he obviously wanted to focus on, if I'm prime minister, I would work with all provinces. All provinces have had to make tough decisions at certain points. But obviously, the Liberals have kind of seized on this and are pointing to this as an example of, drawing that line between Jason Kenney and Erin O'Toole and how one would lead the country through the rest of the pandemic. And I think that's going to be a question for the next few days. And obviously, I think Canadians are having to kind of reassess and take a look at what this means. Of course, there's some suggestion that this is, I don't know if it's going to affect the election because it's just happening in Alberta, but I think Canadians across the country are taking a look at what has happened in Alberta and wondering, could this happen in my province if restrictions are completely eased? We all rolled up our sleeves and got vaccinated with the hopes of life getting back to some more normal. But this is an indication that if there are still a number of people who aren't vaccinated, the risk of COVID, spurring up again and causing lockdowns is still going to be there.
Nick Nanos is joining us, our pollster. Nick, your read on the impact this might have.
Well, why don't we say it's not good news for Erin O'Toole and the Conservatives. We can say that definitively. I can't see it having a material impact on the federal race in Alberta because Alberta is, for all intents and purposes, a lock for the Conservatives. But one thing that this might do is to motivate the Get Out the Vote initiative for the Liberals. That stuff like this appeals to their core supporters, and it might encourage more Liberals to get out and vote. And it also might have a negative impact on some Conservative supporters who aren't going to switch over to the Liberals, but they might not be as enthusiastic as they were last week.
It's so close as well, Robert, as you know, in a lot of these regions of the country. You got the Liberals with a bit of a home ice advantage in certain parts of the country, the Conservatives in other parts of the country as well. What's your read with about 3.5 days to go on which way this is potentially going to go?
Well, I mean, look, I'm not a soothsayer, Todd, but I think that the trends all seem to be going in the same direction, and I will not be surprised if Monday we have a Liberal minority government. Although, I talked to some Ontario Conservatives today who are talking of provincial Conservatives who are saying they won't be surprised if there's a Liberal majority. And it's not that Erin O'Toole has done anything terrible. He's run the best of the major campaigns. But the People's Party of Canada is really nipping at his heels in some key ridings in places like Ontario, where it's going to cost the Tories some seats on Monday night, the way things are looking right now. Now, Nick would have a better read on this as a pollster, perhaps, but I think that the PPC could be the sleeper issue in this campaign for the Tories. And that's good news for the Liberals, very bad news for the Tories.
Yeah, Jen, maybe you can weigh in, too, on the People's Party of Canada and the factor that it might play. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we've been doing some work at the line, some polling work on People's Party, and what we can glean out of them suggests that majority of their support is overwhelmingly coming from sort of the non-voter, the typical non-voter, the politically sort of disengaged person who has been largely activated by the prospect of vaccine mandates and vaccine passports. They've been incredibly ginned up as a result of those types of wedge issues, and have been very inspired by the political process. A couple of interesting points about them from what little data we have is that they tend to skew a little younger. They seem to be drawing a little bit more proportionally from sort of the conservative fringe, but not as much as you think. Conservatives generally pull closer to the Canadian average on issues like vaccines than PPC voters do. And also because of their age demographics, their age skews, and also their traditional disengagement, we have no way of knowing how many of those supporters are going to show up to actually vote. Just no clue. It's really is just a guess at this point. I think if there is an impact on the PPC on the vote as a whole, it will probably be seen in the form of a hung parliament. So I don't think that they're going to necessarily draw significant amounts of support from the CPC, but they might be able to draw enough support to take, say, a 3 or 4 point lead and draw down enough that we have more of these sorts of extremely close ridings that essentially meets in the hung parliament. You might see a lot of that.
I thought it was interesting, too, back to you, Rachel, who is traveling with the Conservatives. You're in Nova Scotia, but seeing Brian Mulroney out on the campaign trail in Quebec last night, endorsing Erin O'Toole and saying, you know, he's the right guy for the job. But immediately the Liberals went on the attack saying, well, you know, that's Brian Mulroney. He was a progressive Conservative prime minister. This is a very different party in 2021. What are you hearing from the Conservatives?
So obviously we've heard this pitch from Erin O'Toole. You know, we're not your dad's Conservative Party anymore. I mean, there were ball caps on the chairs for supporters there yesterday, Todd. So I won't opine on whether that's a classic dad move. But absolutely, I think the questions that were asked of Erin O'Toole yesterday when he kind of made this position and wanting to say, you know, we want to be more inclusive. We've got ground to make up here. It's still okay, but look at your caucus, right? 62 of them voted against a ban on conversion therapy. They've had alternating opinions sometimes on vaccines, climate change. So I think this is going to be an ongoing contention. And now power and winning government is a motivating factor. So it's possible that if they are able to pull this off, those folks will come in line for the better of the party. But I'm not sure that it's going to be a convincing thing for Canadians when you don't have that record to point to. You just say that you will be different and trust us. And so I think that's going to be a question that Canadians will weigh when they go to the polls on Monday of whether or not the Conservative campaign has done an effective job of saying that they will have zero tolerance for some of this stuff and will be different. Remains to be seen, I would say, Todd.
Yeah, there's nothing like winning to unify a party, Nick, as you know. What about the Mulroney factor? What do you think?
Well, I think it's kind of ironic that it said it's not your father's Conservative Party, but bringing out Brian Mulroney, I think, mathematically makes it your father's Conservative Party. It's pretty clear that Erin O'Toole believes that tacking to the center and being more progressive is a vote winner, and that his target is actually not those PPC voters. They're blue Liberals that might be disaffected or fatigued with Justin Trudeau and the Liberals and want a change, and he's hoping that he can try to attract them. His platform suggests that because he's spending more money. What he said throughout the campaign suggests that he wants to go after some, what I'll say, fiscally conservative progressive voters. And his connection with Brian Mulroney, one of Canada's most successful conservative politicians, we have to say, speaks to that strategy. So he's been very transparent. And it's not a big surprise for that for some parts of the party. And remember, Maxime Bernier was part of the Conservative Party of Canada and a former leadership candidate. That's probably a non-starter.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because, of course, there are those who criticize Erin O'Toole, Robert, for tacking too far to the right in order to win the leadership. And now you see Brian Mulroney campaigning for him. He did not do that for Andrew Scheer, and the relationship with Stephen Harper was a bit frosty as well. What do you make of it?
Well, I think that the party in Quebec, the Conservative Party operatives in Quebec, thought it was a good call, and it probably is. I mean, you know, Jean Chrétien was campaigning for Justin Trudeau here in Ontario, so the day before. So, you know, Brian Mulroney, to Nick's point, was very successful, won huge majorities in 1984 and 1988. And I think history will judge him as being one of the most successful conservatives in the history of this country. But, yeah, he is, in some quarters, a polarizing figure. Although I don't know that if I'm the federal Liberals, I would be attacking Mr. Mulroney too much, because remember, he helped Justin Trudeau during the NAFTA talks with Donald Trump. I mean, he did some work behind the scenes that was and was praising Mr. Trudeau for his work on the free trade agreement, the newer agreement that's a modernization of the original one that Mr. Mulroney came up with in the 1980s. So I think it's to Nick's point, yes, it is. He is attracting blue Liberals and also the progressive Conservatives. And there are lots and lots of progressive Conservatives in Ontario where the provincial progressive Conservatives are in power, and in other parts of the country. It's not a reform Conservative Party really everywhere.
Robert Benzi, Rachel Aiello, Jen Gerson, Nick Nanos, great to have all four of you with us. Thanks for following the ball as we went to Alberta and coming back and giving us your thoughts on 4 days to go. Appreciate it. All right, that's going to do it for us. I'm Todd Vanderhaeden. We'll see you again right here tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day. Day four, of course, 4 days to go until this federal election campaign actually happens on Monday. Your top stories are straight ahead here on CTV News Channel. Have a great rest of your Thursday.